I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the Pope, Pope Francis, and the Muslim World League. Pope Francis and the Muslim World League. We have an article here on Breitbart that says Pope Francis welcomes leader of Muslim World League to Vatican. And it tells us that Pope Francis met with the Secretary General of the Muslim World League, the MWL, in the Vatican Wednesday, a group that has been tied to Saudi financing of jihadist terrorism and the 9/11 attacks in 2001. Dr. Mohammed bin Abdul Karim al-Issa, who served for several years as Saudi Minister of Justice in Riyadh, is now Secretary General of the MWL, expressed the appreciation of the Muslim world for the Pope's, quote, fair positions regarding, quote, the false claims that link extremism and violence to Islam, end quote, as well as for his insistence that extremism is not distinctive of Islam, but is found among followers of all religions. Now, this is a decidedly deceptive. I mean, of course, we've talked about Pope Francis before. Francis is a Jesuit. And there's no question that the Jesuits are directly behind. I mean, they're directly linked to the globalist plan to flood the Western world with Muslims and basically bring them in as an anti-Christian army. A little bit at a time, setting up this fifth column army in the Western world. Now, I have come to believe, I am firmly convinced that what Rome is doing is the same thing that she's done throughout history. She is setting up another Holocaust. She planned the Rwanda genocide. The Catholic bishops planned the Rwanda genocide over a period of about 40 to 50 years. It didn't happen overnight. It took decades for them to get everything lined up so that they could then carry out this genocide. And if you go read the book by Dr. Peter Hammond on it, now he doesn't go into the full history there. To get that history, you'd have to go to EIPS, the European Institute of Protestant Studies, and read their literature on the role of Rome in the Rwanda genocide. Very powerful article on that that talks about why it happened, that the Catholic priests went in there, wanted to control the Tutsis, etc. The Tutsis resisted them, so they went over to the Hutus and then began to demonize the Tutsis. That's basically what happened. And the racial agitation is what they used to stir up the Hutus against the Tutsis. But it didn't happen overnight, brethren. It happened over years and years, decades. And eventually, it all reached a great climax in 1994 with the Rwanda genocide. But if you study those events, you read Dr. Hammond's book, he argues that the United Nations was involved in this. They knew about it. They even helped with the genocide in certain circumstances. But that the whole thing had been calculated and planned just in terms of the killings months before, with stockpiling machetes and this kind of thing, and coming up with a plan for blocking the roads and all these other things. This didn't just happen. This was engineered. And it reminds me of things like the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre. It reminds me of the revocation of the Edict of Nantes, the Massacre of the Waldenses in 1655, the Irish Rebellion of 1641, etc. It reminds me of the Holocaust. In fact, the article on EIPS says that Rome's involvement in the Rwanda genocide is very similar to the Holocaust. Because after the Holocaust, what happened was you had Nazi war criminals who were smuggled out of Europe with this coalition of the Vatican working with British intelligence and the OSS, Office of Strategic Services, that would later become the CIA. Okay? And that is important. Now, the OSS, of course, was being run by Wild Bill Donovan, and Donovan was a devout Catholic who had Marxist leanings. And so that, and I've always believed that Donovan was the link. He's the reason why the OSS was helping to smuggle these Nazi war criminals out, because he was doing this on behalf of the Vatican. Anyway, that is my thesis. So, but then after the Rwanda genocide, you have a similar set of circumstances. The Catholic priests and nuns that took part in the Rwanda genocide were then smuggled through a rat line out of Rwanda into Europe so they could avoid prosecution. That is, this whole thing, very, very elaborate. Now, for decades, since the 1960s, anybody who's not studied this thing, bear in mind, when you're listening to all this stuff about Islamic immigrants and, well, these circumstances are bad, and so the Western world needs to take in these immigrants, et cetera, et cetera. You have to remember, they have made a whole variety of arguments since the 1960s. This is just the latest batch of arguments that they're making. But since the 1960s, they have been bringing in tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, ultimately millions of Muslim immigrants into Western Europe and into the UK. This is why you had Enoch Powell's whole Rivers of Blood speech, because this has been going on for so long. And I don't believe it's just to subvert Western civilization. It is that. But part of doing that, what the Muslims do whenever they go into these countries and take them over, there is always a period of bloodletting, just like what ISIS did going into Iraq and Syria. There's a period where they're chopping heads off and stacking them up in piles and depopulating the infidel population. They go through that. And this is where Hitler is said to have learned it. In fact, you've got an interesting article right now on Worldview Weekend. Brannon over at Worldview Weekend has done a show. I've not had the opportunity to watch it, but he and I have talked about this subject matter before. And it's on Worldview Weekend TV. And the headline is, quote, "Exposing the Muslim Brotherhood in America and their murderous partnership with Nazi Adolf Hitler." And then, of course, there's a whole history there. I highly recommend a documentary called The Nazi Jihad for those who have not studied this, because once you realize what's going on, brethren, and I remember hearing a guy who was a former FBI agent say this years ago, he said that what many people don't realize is that the Nazis were never defeated. They just changed their location. And at the time, I didn't fully understand what he meant by that. I have come to believe that there is truth to what he said. And part of it is modern terrorism. Part of it is just the adoption of Nazi doctrines into the Western world, whether it's abortion, Darwinism, environmentalism, homosexuality, because the inner core of the Nazi movement, they were militant homosexuals, and now the embracing of Islam. because Hitler embraced Islam. Hitler had Muslim soldiers that were working for him. And you watch the documentary, The Nazi Jihad, what happened? At the end of the war, the Nazi guerrilla groups that were called werewolves, they were going out trying to stop the Allies from invading Germany. And part of what they did was to train the Muslims in their guerrilla warfare tactics. And then according to this documentary, what happened was the Muslims employing those tactics became the modern terrorists. That's why they call it the Nazi Jihad. Because modern jihad really has a direct link to the Nazis during World War II. So when you see the socialists that are working with the Muslims and they're trying to help the Muslims, bring the Muslims into the Western world, etc., I believe we could argue World War II, it ended, but it kind of didn't end. What happened was the Nazis went underground. These socialists, because that's what they were socialists. They began coming up with an alternative plan. What can we do now? Well, we're going to have to infiltrate the schools, the colleges. We're going to have to infiltrate the politics. We're going to have to, you know, restructure our movement and employ different methods, a lot of the same doctrines, but they employed different methods, and call upon our friends, the Muslims here, and find ways to get the Muslims into the Western world. And they're going to become our fifth column army to help us get revenge on these allies that defeated us during World War II. That's what I believe they're doing. And just like Hitler carried out a Holocaust, I mean, you look at the concentration camps. I'll never, just go watch some of these old black and white films, and I'm sure many of you have seen them. But just stop for a minute, and when you see the aerial view of like Dachau and Auschwitz and so on, and all of these buildings lined up. Somebody had to build those things. Somebody had to plan these camps. And they did. They didn't just throw it together. They spent years planning this. Years. Think about what these globalists are planning right now for Western Europe and the entire Western world. It's very, very disturbing to think about. But when you study the role of Rome in these things, I mean, you've got Rome and Islam. These are two groups that throughout the 20th century, on a number of different occasions, have carried out these mass slaughters of hundreds of thousands and millions of people. Both of them. On record. And remember the Rwanda genocide? Pope Francis admitted to that earlier this year when he gave an apology to Paul Kagame of the president of Rwanda. So that's not a conspiracy theory, brethren. That's not Chris Pinto's conspiracy theory. This has been documented for years. The Vatican just finally acknowledged it publicly this year. And back in late 2016, you had the Catholic bishops that acknowledged it. In Rwanda, they came out and publicly, but of course, see, everybody was preoccupied with all of the press on Donald Trump and him winning the election, etc. So the story just kind of brushed by and nobody paid a lot of attention to it, certainly not in the mainstream. We talked about it on the program here. But mainstream media, of course, is just, you know, by and large, they've ignored it. But it's pretty devastating to think about. And most people are not aware. But we are reminded of the prophecies concerning mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. All right, brethren, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today: the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we've been talking about this meeting between Pope Francis, and he's had a number of these meetings. Under Pope Francis, the first Islamic prayers and declarations were made inside the Vatican, which, if you know the history of the Jesuits, if you know their blending of paganism with Catholicism, which, yes, we understand is a blend of paganism itself, but nevertheless, this is entirely Jesuitical, what's going on. Entirely. And so, Pope Francis has been meeting with Muslims in the Vatican. Now he's meeting with this guy from Saudi Arabia. What's so outlandish about this guy showing up and declaring that thanking the Pope for dispelling the false assertions that Islam is a violent religion, a violent belief system. What's so absurd about it is that right there in Saudi Arabia, they're financing Wahhabism, and Wahhabism, it openly teaches the violence of Muhammad and authentic, original Muhammadism, which is the foundation of Islam. Why? Because Muhammad invaded towns, cities, countries, etc., went on various campaigns, cut people's heads off, raped women, turned them into slaves, did everything that ISIS is doing and has done. And that's what Wahhabism teaches. And of course, you can find this in the Quran. You can find it in Islamic writings, the idea that supposedly that's not Islam. This just continues to be parroted off in the media. And when you see these leaders get together and they join each other in the, you know, on the one hand, you could say, okay, well, maybe the Pope is just being politically correct, although he's a Jesuit. The Jesuits are some of the most educated people anywhere on the planet. The Jesuits at Georgetown, however, are taking millions of dollars from Saudi Arabia every year to promote Islamic propaganda in the United States. So you have this coalition there. You have this very clear agreement between these powers that really, once you understand it, brethren, Rome represents the Western Roman Empire under the Inquisition, originally, the Holy Roman Empire, and then Islam represents the Eastern Roman Empire after the fall of Constantinople. It's like they are the two legs It's why Luther called them the two legs of Antichrist. Calvin called them the two horns of Antichrist. Luther, in fact, said they were in league together. The two types of Antichrist working together against the Christian world. Now, let me read another part of this article here on Breitbart, talking about the Muslim World League. It says, quote, "The Muslim World League is a Saudi, as in Saudi Arabia, Saudi government-funded Islamic non-governmental organization, an NGO, founded on May 18, 1962 in Mecca for the propagation of Islamic teachings. Despite the group's official opposition to violence and terrorism in its pursuit of intercultural dialogue, it has been the subject of several ongoing counterterrorism investigations in the U.S. related to Hamas, Al-Qaeda, and other terrorist groups." Now, this next part is very interesting. Listen to this. Quote, "2 months after the 9/11 jihadist attacks on U.S. soil, Newsweek writer Evan Thomas reported that the Muslim World League was one of two interrelated global charities directly funded by the Saudi government that were used by Osama bin Laden to finance his operations. The organizations were left off the list of groups sanctioned by the United States in order to avoid embarrassing the Saudi government," Thomas wrote. All right, so you've got these kind of connections here with the Muslim World League. Bear this in mind, that the leader of this now is meeting with a pope in Rome at the Vatican, and obviously on very friendly terms. All right, now I want to talk about another event happening, or that just happened here at a Catholic church. And this is from an article on InfoWars. It says, "Illuminati-themed fashion show held at London Catholic Church." And this is very bizarre, very disturbing, yet you really have to go and look at this article and see the images here. But apparently St. Andrew's Church, a Catholic church, was used as a location for a Black Mass fashion show. And if you go look at the set that they had for this fashion show, it's all of this Masonic occult imagery with a square, the compass, the two Masonic pillars that they have there. They have the sun face. They have the black and white checkerboard floor like they have in Masonic lodges, symbolizing the yin and the yang, the positive and the negative, etc. All of these symbols there, with an all-seeing eye and so on. And then you go and you look at the images. You've got a woman in what looks like a satanically red dress with a five-pointed star drawn onto her face. And then all of these other models in gruesome, grisly-looking, dark, sinister, dark and evil-looking outfits in this fashion show. They got one woman who's wearing bright red with flat-out devil horns coming out of her head, just with devil horns. Then another girl with devil horns, two of them with devil horns. I mean, nothing subtle about any of this, but it's very clear all of it is full of all of this Masonic, esoteric type symbolism and so on that they've interwoven in the whole midst of it. And what's incredible about this is that while the Catholic churches and many would-be or so-called Christian churches are in decline in London and throughout the UK, they're in decline, the mosques are going up left and right. I'm reminded of Revelation that says, "Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and of every unclean and hateful bird." That is what seeing this reminds me of. That it is. And what's incredible, I was studying some of Luther's commentaries on Rome for the new audio CD that we just released on Luther on the Antichrist and so on. And we're getting ready to release another one called Rule of the Wicked. Rule of the Wicked. That's going to be the next title. But anyway, reading about Luther, Luther talked about how Rome, the church in Rome, was thought by early church fathers to be such a pinnacle of faithfulness where Christianity is concerned. And of course, there were many martyrs in Rome in the early centuries before Constantine. You had martyrs, people being thrown to the lions, being tortured and killed for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their unwillingness to compromise the faith and to embrace the pagan deities. And Luther talked about how Rome had once been faithful, and so it would appear that the devil sought to corrupt the church in Rome that much more. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.